minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, well, I just saw some news. I was hoping it would be a return for MPJ Jamal Murray, but it sounds like for the Suns, they're going to get maybe Chris Paul back tonight. Is that the case?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be the case. He's listed as probable for the game tonight. You know, he, in the last few days, has really improved. And, well, look, he hasn't played since the All-Star break, and he had a fractured thumb. And since then, he's improved greatly. He practiced earlier this week, and obviously Phoenix played yesterday. He did not play in that game, but he also did not have the thumb brace on as well. So all signs kind of pointed toward maybe a return for this game or maybe a return soon after this game, but the Phoenix Suns made that official just a few minutes ago, as a matter of fact, saying that he's probable for the game, so it looks like he'll return to action against the Nuggets. Wah, wah, wah.
Well, I know, right? You never root for a guy to get hurt or not to be hurt, but it's like, can you just take one more night off, man? Just one more night of relaxation before this game, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Especially with that guy. We know how effective he is on the court.
Yeah, no, he's fun to watch when you're not watching him play the Nuggets. However, Suns played last night, and you were kind of rooting for the Suns last night, so this could work out perfectly. Okay, great. Thanks, Suns. You helped us out with Minnesota. Now Denver hopefully can take care of them on a back-to-back.
Yeah, that was a good part. You're right about that. So the Nuggets have a game and a half cushion over the Timberwolves for that seventh spot, for the sixth spot. And it was a big deal that they went in and won that game. Phoenix did yesterday, and you know, you are getting a team that maybe a little bit weary on the second of a back-to-back, but they just have, you know, the Phoenix has taken care of business so well this season that you can't even look at a back-to-back and say, oh, we're catching a team like that at the right time. They just have been really, really good no matter what the scenario is all season long. So, you know, the Nuggets have their work cut out for them, and we'll see. You know, we'll see what they can do. But if they were able to win and get a two-game cushion over the Minnesota Timberwolves, that would be huge, obviously, because just, you know, in less than a week or about a week, the Nuggets are going to face the Timberwolves. And, you know, if you have a two-game cushion or a game-and-a-half cushion by the time they meet on April 1st, you know, that could be the final nail or one of the final nails, you know, in the coffin for the Timberwolves in terms of their aspirations to get in that top six. So, hopefully the Nuggets can take care of business here tonight.
Yeah, and again, when you look at the schedules, it does line up nicely for the Nuggets, it seems like, anyway, on paper. But you never know with Denver sometimes. Michael Malone gets the extension, Chris. And I think that, like, you're in this championship window. Maybe this year is up in the air. Who knows? Because of MPJ and Jamal, and we'll get to that. But I absolutely love it. And, you know, you look at everything he's done. You know, being a head coach for the Nuggets, almost every year has been better than the last. I know the bubble year was that crazy exception. You go to the Western Conference Finals, but this is for those naysayers looking at, you know, maybe Michael Malone's not the guy to get him over that hump. It's like, my goodness, so just a few years ago, you were worried about getting past the first round, and then Brian Shaw comes in. You can't even sniff the playoffs. You got a guy that's been to the playoffs the last 3 years, and he's getting past those first rounds. So I guess I just look at it and say, who else do you want that can get them over that hump? Look at the competition in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and it's been a wild ride for Nuggets fans, right? So you had George Karl, and he won all those games, could never get out of the first round. I think he did it one time. Got to the Western Conference Finals. And so at that point in time, you had fans going, well, this guy, he can't get us out of the first round. We're always losing in the first round. Okay, you get Brian Shaw, then you don't go to the playoffs at all, as you just alluded to. And, you know, people forgot what it was to have a team that always got in the playoffs. So then you get Michael Malone and what they were doing, you know, with him and Tim Connelly and Josh Kroenke in terms of building building something that is sustainable. They didn't go to the playoffs at first, but then they did. And since they've been in the playoffs, he always gets out in the first round, yeah. You know? And so it's a, he has done a remarkable job. He really, really has. You know, Nuggets fans, as old as I am, you know, I can only remember maybe two times in my life, well, three times in my life that the Nuggets ever got out of the first round prior to Michael Malone. And so what he's doing right now, I think, is really, really well done and great. And this extension is well deserved by him. I agree with you here. The Western Conference has been wicked, you know, ever since he's been here. And, you know, it's not easy to rise to the top in this conference. The Nuggets are trying to do that. Obviously, that is very difficult when you don't have Jamal Murray and MPJ. And, you know, we'll see if they come back or if they don't. You know, this team certainly sets up to be a contender next season. But Brady, I think at the end, by the time he leaves Denver, I think he'll have been the longest tenured Nuggets coach ever. And I think he'll have the most wins ever, and he'll have the most playoff wins. He can get that this year, the most playoff wins ever.
Wow.
Just by winning one series. One series, he'll tie.
Crazy.
He'll tie Doug Moe, and then he'd probably just break that in the next. So he's done great things.
Well, and he'll have the most MVPs ever, too. I mean, he'll lock that one up. Might add some insurance to that this year. I'm feeling, there are 9 games left? You got to feel like it's feeling like the Joker. I mean, I was listening to Stan Van Gundy say he's thinking that he's the guy. A couple of different, you know, national media members are saying it now, which not that we necessarily need that because he didn't need it last year. But to me, that just kind of further cements his case.
Yeah, it's he's looking good for it. And Joel, I mean, this really is. I know there's Giannis out there, and he's playing really well. And Milwaukee has risen to the third spot in the Eastern Conference. So there's always the Giannis situation out there. But this really is Nikola Jokic versus Joel Embiid. That's what this is. And each night, what these players do is amazing. You know, Joker with 30-14 in the win over the Clippers, and however many assists, I think it was 5. And then, you know, Joel Embiid last night goes off against the Lakers, and this is what they're doing, back and forth and back and forth. And so it'll just be very, very interesting to see which one of these two players wins. But what we know is that Nikola Jokic probably has spent the most time this season as the front runner of the award. And, you know, we'll see if that can carry him to, you know, through to the finish line. You know, it looks like the Nuggets are going to finish probably no better than 5th in the Western Conference, but that record probably might be actually equally as good as Philadelphia's. And Philadelphia would have finished way higher in the Eastern Conference. That your record, your little worse record goes a long way. So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to seeing how the votes shake down. But the Joker certainly is in good position to win back-to-back.
Yeah, wow. Look at that. You go from not having an MVP to potentially 2 years in a row. Got to be putting him in that. You know, I was talking about this earlier, Chris. It's like, I don't know that you put him, like, really in... You're not going to put him in the GOAT territory. I mean, we're talking Jordan and Bryant and Johnson, all these great guys. But you're at least, like, sliding him over a little bit, right? Like, he's looking at it from afar. I mean, again, if he goes and wins a championship at some point, then maybe we're getting there. But 2 MVP titles, you at least are – the fact that we're even kind of bringing it up right now, we're at least at that point, right?
Yes. You win 2 MVPs, and then, as you say, if you stack a title on that, then what you're talking about is one of the greatest centers of all time. And for Nikola Jokic, he just goes out and does this every day. His production, his improvement in his production, especially when lifting a basketball team, winning in clutch time, his plays in clutch time, his play in the playoffs. Like, this guy never takes a day off, and you never look at a big chunk of time and go, "Well, you man, Nikola Jokic is in a slump." I just can't remember the last time we would have ever said that about him, you know, and so. But when these type of major awards start stacking up, you start to put yourself in the conversation of all-time greats, you know, just in NBA history. And then if you put the title on top of that, wow, I mean, you know, it'll be a full-blown debate and conversation about where he fits in terms of the greatest players at his position. And quite honestly, depending on what this position looks like going forward, even after he retires, what his legacy on how the position is played will be very, very interesting. Will we see more centers with the ability to facilitate, to run offense right through them at the elbow, not just on the block? And then be very high assist players, high playmaking players, as well as shooters, I mean scorers, rebounders, and maybe shot blockers as well. So there's a lot of, it's very complex, his legacy and his impact on this game, but certainly he's starting to put himself into some rarefied air conversation.
It's interesting, too, watching March Madness. I mean, not every team is like this, but some of the good ones, you know, you see their big men. They're not just big men, you know. They're not just doing the things right by the rim. They are kind of working around that free throw line extended a little bit. So I don't know if that's a Joker thing, but we are kind of seeing more teams looking for those kind of guys because, I mean, that's a weapon. If you can get a seven-footer or close to that that can hit outside shots, my goodness. Chris, all right, where are we with the Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. meter? I feel like, you know, every week it's you know, if we feel really good, and then the next week it's, I don't know, and then the next week feel really good again. That's kind of how these injuries go, though. Look at Klay Thompson. I think we were ready for him to play way before he actually stepped foot back on the basketball floor.
That's true. And then there's a even more recent example of just exactly how long this can be. And that is Jonathan Isaac with the Orlando Magic. And just a couple of weeks ago, more recent than that, the Magic announced that he would not play this season. He tore his ACL in 2020. And so it has taken this long for him to even, well, he's still not playing yet. And so when you look at that, you understand that sometimes an ACL injury can be, you can bounce back from that a little bit faster. Sometimes it takes a really long time. And for Jamal Murray, you know, there was so much hope going into the Grand Rapids practices because it was, you know, usually you see a player go for a G League stint, that player is on the way back. You know, I mean, it's not like, I don't know if he's coming back. And so, you know, I don't know how that went for him down there, but, you know, apparently not well enough that they could bring him back up and give a concrete timetable for his return. So, you know, there's only 9 games left, and nobody has said that there is a drop-dead date in terms of if these players don't return to the court by this particular game, then they won't return to the court. But, Brady, I have to believe that that's got to be 3 to 4 games to go in the regular season. I mean, if we get to 4 and then down to 3 and we haven't seen either one of those two, you're not ramping up a player, I don't think. You're not ramping up a player 3 games to play in the playoffs, the most intense games of the season. And so, you know, it's a very difficult situation right now, and certainly we're all waiting and seeing. We don't know. It seems like there's a little bit of a damper on it for both players right now.
All right, so last one for you then, Chris. Let's assume the worst here. Let's just do that. That way we're pleasantly surprised. If Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., they don't come back, looking at the playoff potential here, I mean, we could be looking at what? Golden State, maybe with no Steph Curry. We'll see. Memphis Grizzlies, depending on where we move. Would you rather, would you rather the Nuggets play Memphis, Golden State, or Utah in the first round, depending on how that would work out?
Boy, that's 3 very wicked teams to have
right.
to play.
Right.
Wow. Which is the least? You know, I guess for me, just having covered sports over time, I think I would just pick on the team that's the youngest. So the Memphis Grizzlies, yeah. Even though it's probably the most talented by top to bottom of them.
Yeah, it's like pick your poison, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they did make the playoffs last year, obviously, so they have just a scant bit of playoff experience. But I think it's still a team that maybe you can get into a thick of a series, maybe trick a little bit, come out with some victories, maybe get a road victory or two, and then try to win your home games. And so the Memphis Grizzlies are so talented. I mean, we just watched them last night beat Brooklyn without Ja Morant. I mean, that's just how good they are. And but I still think teams like that still have lessons to be learned in the playoffs and in the postseason. And sometimes you can get a team like that in there and, you know, get them in a real fight over the course of 7 games, and then see if they're willing, if the pressure, you know, if they understand how to execute and what it means to be able to win a playoff series. You know, it's kind of like when the Nuggets in 2009 went all the way to the Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets were as good and maybe even better than the Lakers that year, but the Lakers have been to the Western Conference Finals before. They've been to the NBA Finals before. And when you get into those situations, there are always these inflection moments in the games and in the series that you had better understand how to handle the pressure, how to handle the magnitude of the moment, and then execute your way through that. And what we saw in that series was the Nuggets throw away two inbound passes that were at points in the game where the Nuggets could have won a game or won both of those games and won a series and taken themselves to the NBA Finals. But my point is they weren't ready yet because they hadn't been there. They hadn't the gravity of the moment got to them. And so can that happen to a young team like the Memphis Grizzlies? Yeah, maybe so, because there's still not a ton of playoff experience with those guys, even though they are uber talented and led by one of the very best guards in the NBA.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be a tough road either way, especially without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., but we'll see. We'll keep our eyes out, and we'll see what happens tonight. Denver and Phoenix going at it. What time do you guys get rolling, Chris?
We get rolling at 6:30 with the pregame show. And then 7 o'clock, the game. I'll be on the sideline for that game. And yeah, it should be very, very interesting. Hopefully, there's not as many Phoenix Suns fans as there were like Boston Celtics fans. But the Phoenix Suns fans do tend to come out, so it'll be probably a very energized atmosphere.
Yeah, what are we doing, Denver fans? We got to load that up with Nuggets fans. Bones Highland was 100% right.
Buy the tickets.
Yeah, I hear you, my friend. Chris, looking forward to it. We'll be watching tonight, my man.
All right, thank you. We'll see you, man.
All right, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. If you're a Nuggets fan, go. If you have friends that are Suns fans, you say no. That's what you say. Or whatever, Golden State fans. And if they're in, you gotta just do better than that. All right, 22 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about Colorado State, the football side of things. Are they going to get back to maybe even a new and improved Mike Bobo type of team? Bobo's offense was kind of exciting. We'll get to that next.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Got to give a shout out to my friends over at On the Rocks Liquor. They're adding a free tasting on Saturday. From 4 to 7 on this, remember, again, Saturday. We already know what they're doing on Friday with Colorado cream liqueurs and whiskey. 4 to 7, they got the tastings rolling then. But on Saturday from 4 to 7, they're adding a free tasting with Berthoud Brewing. And I've had some beers from that place. You're going to want to stop by there. Check it out. See if that fits, man. I mean, love this place. It's On the Rocks Liquor. They're off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. If you know where Buffalo Wild Wings is, you're going to find the best liquor store around. They are constantly working with local breweries, but they've got a good mix, too. They're also bringing in different breweries from throughout the state, even beyond, throughout the country, too. So I love what they do. Great folks, John and Tony, husband and wife duo, doing great things with On the Rocks Liquor. Thanks to them for being with us since the beginning of time. It sure feels like we've been rolling with them for a while, and we absolutely love it. Okay, Mr. Baseball Guy, Jades. We got our boy, Tanner Schwinn of NoCo Now, who shouldn't be drinking that early but in the morning during his show, but he does constantly say the Rockies are now a wild card team. He is digging his heels in on that take. Did his case get helped a little bit with this news? According to the Denver Post, hours ago, Ramel Tapia was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays for Randall Grichuk. Now the outfield is going to be absolutely better, I think, right? Outfield's going to be better. The bats were improving there. Now it's going to be an interesting deal here. The Rockies also sent minor leaguer, who'd they send? Adrian Pinto, is that right?
To
the Blue Jays. And then the Rockies received cash considerations to help offset the $10.3 million salary. Did the Rockies get much better? They got better, right? I think it's fair to say they got better.
I think they definitely won the trade. I think they have the better side. I was looking at what ESPN was saying for the Rockies' depth chart. They're thinking that Charlie Blackmon might be moved to DH and then Connor Joe taken out of the lineup.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think you really got to keep Connor Joe's bat in.
Is that
wherever?
Yeah, I saw that. You're right. It's Grichuk and Sam Hilliard and Chris Bryant, right?
Yeah, and I feel like it just makes most sense to Charlie's kind of a liability. You stick one of the other two in center. Keep Charlie in right, and then Grichuk. Or no, who would you take out? I don't know, Brady.
Tough part because you're not messing with Bryant. They like what they're seeing. I see. I don't mind it. I think Charlie Blackmon's not good in the outfield. I mean, he's just not there anymore.
He's a liability for sure.
Yeah. So I think Grichuk, Hilliard, and Bryant. I mean, seems to be the way to go.
Yeah, and I just feel like you got to keep Connor Joe's bat in. Maybe take Sam Hilliard out of the starting lineup.
Okay, here's the question then. Is Charlie Blackmon make sense now with what the Rockies are doing?
It makes it difficult.
Yeah, because you're right. You want to keep Connor Joe. You want to keep that bat going, and it's either him or Charlie Blackmon at this point.
I think Charlie Blackman's obviously a safer bet than Connor
Joe. Put him on first base over CJ Cron, no, you're not going to do that. Right?
Don't
they
do
tried
that
a couple of times, right? I think that was Mark Knutson's philosophy, was put Blackmon at first base.
Yeah, well, and what's nice is that you have the utility in the infield. I mean, Ryan McMahon, Garrett Hampson, Brendan Rodgers, they can all kind of interchange.
All right, so what are your thoughts on this team? Pitching aside, which is a big deal, and we'll get to that. But pitching aside, Bill Schmidt, the newest GM for the Rockies, is he doing work?
I like the way the team's looking. I honestly, it's like I've said before, it's the most excited I've ever been for a season in several years, and it's just, I'm getting more excited.
Well, the bottom line was, and with the whole Nolan Arenado thing, and I think a lot of people are still really pissy about that, and I get it, but you weren't really winning with that situation. So here we go. I said 2 weeks ago this is going to be the first season the Rockies have ever started without a superstar on their team, and now they got pretty much two, right? I mean, it depends if you want to call Grichuk a superstar. He's not really. He's a good player, though.
He's a star. He's Charlie Blackmon tier. I'd say he's
like Charlie at his best tier, because Charlie's he's on his way out.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie. Yeah, he's been putting up decent offensive numbers, but his defense is such a liability. And I really do think that Grichuk and Charlie are pretty comparable players. Obviously, Grichuk has the edge over him in today's world. But yeah, I just really like the lineup this year.
Randall Grichuk is a Colorado Rocky. He had a career high 81 RBIs in 149 games for Toronto last season. So, I mean, he hit, what, 245 with 156 home runs in 8 seasons with the Cardinals and then mixed with the Blue Jays. So you're getting some decent numbers there. How are we feeling? Now, you feel better about the roster. At the end of the day, though, the strength of this team last year was the starting pitching staff. You know, Herman Marquez, Freeland, Senzatella, Gomber. You go without Gray. Gray, you know, I think Gray kind of got a bad rap once in a while, but consistently he was like one of their better pitchers while he was here. He had that, you know, he had a really good year, and then a really bad year, and then he was kind of in between, and then I thought last year was really good for him. So starting pitching, I think, took a little bit of a hit, and then the bullpen is different guys, same issues.
Yeah, I think you've got a really good 1-2 for starters. Herman Marquez, Kyle Freeland.
Yeah, I really want to see Freeland. Yeah, I want to see what he does this year.
He had a down year last year, but we saw his potential in 2020. He was just doing amazing work. Senzatella, it's hit or miss. I'm high on Austin Gomber. I think he's underrated. But Chad Cole, I mean, we'll see. But I think you're right with the bullpen. You still have holes, but you do have a closer now, which is something that the Rockies really haven't ever been able to say.
That's true. I mean, that's been their biggest issue, even outside of the starting pitching staff or the bulk of the bullpen. Having a closer has been such a tough deal. And they've paid. They've tried. They've tried to get guys in for this. But all right, so is Tanner that off base, thinking this team could squeeze in as a wild card? I mean, if that happens, Dick Monfort has seriously a mic drop, you know, I told you so. I mean, that's seriously, that's what could be if this happens.
I think the National League's too stacked.
I do too. I will tell you, though, it does seem like, you know, as much as we talked about, okay, the Rockies need to get a manager, a general manager outside of the organization, somebody with a fresh look. They didn't. They stuck with Bill Schmidt on the inside. And I think right now, I mean, I don't know that we'd be talking about the Rockies today if this move wasn't made. I mean, we get to the Rockies next week. But you do have some excitement, kind of. And some people are mad about it. They're saying, wow, you're spending money on these guys, but not Story. Story, you spent the money on. He didn't want it. He wanted to go somewhere else. Well, what does that say about the Rockies? Listen, I'm just saying, get your argument straight before you come at me with that. Because Story was offered more money. He chose elsewhere because of the winning opportunities.
Yeah, and you have guys that wanted out of their other respective teams, too. And you're getting guys that are excited to be somewhere new. It's a hitter-friendly park. Yesterday, I thought I was confident in saying between 90 and 100 losses. Today, I don't think you get less than 90 losses or more than 90 losses. I think that that's kind of where you sit. But, I mean, I think you're better from this trade, but you can't compete against the other wild card teams like the Phillies. I mean, the Braves are probably going to be a wild card team. I have the Mets beating them out, but it's a tough situation. You still got to go against the Padres, the Giants.
So are they about like last year? I mean, they were 74-87.
I could see them doing better than that. I definitely don't think they'll be worse necessarily. They have a team that can produce better, but I mean, it's a lot of new guys, new pieces. Well, they don't have the chemistry like the old team does. I mean, and you can argue that baseball's not a very team sport, but
I guess, yeah. I mean, it just depends. Again, if you can have a stud pitcher, we all know what you can do. If you can have a stud pitcher and another good one or two, and then a pretty good guy coming out of the bullpen, I mean, you can have a really good baseball team. But that seems to be a weak point maybe right now. But we'll see. I mean, maybe this pitching staff can get it together.
Yeah, I think you have three really good starting pitchers. I mean, I'd say like Senzatella, Gombert, they switch off. There's your third.
But Freeland, if he can give you what he did that first year.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
You're going to have, because Marquez, they obviously signed him to the long-term deal. I mean, again, I'd feel a lot better about the starting lineup if you had Marquez, Freeland, Gray, Senzatella. That would be, to me, phenomenal. But they're going to have to put in work. I remember when Bud Black first became the Rockies manager, the big concern was, can you get a starting pitcher to go over six innings? And they found that, but it was what came after the six innings that's been the issue now for the Rockies. And again, it wasn't necessarily from a lack of not trying. They were trying to get better with the bullpen. They spent money there. Guys just didn't work out when they came to Colorado.
And it's a hard place to pitch. It really is. But I have it up here. Senzatella, he was 4-10 last year with a 4.42 ERA. It's not going to cut it for a team that's going to go to the it's not going to cut it for a team that's looking to go to the playoffs.
I always wonder how hard it is for pitchers to keep their concentration, though, as the season progresses and you know you're out. And I know individually they're still there, but you know, so much of that scoreboard messes with the pitcher's head. Everything messes with the pitcher's head. So you do wonder, as the year just kept getting further and further out of hand, you wonder how much that really impacted him. But yeah, I think Kyle Freeland's the big one to watch as far as what he can do, because first year was great, second year was and obviously he was hurt. He was coming off of injuries too. So
I think he's got the highest ceiling this year.
I think so. But I don't think they're a playoff team. I want to be wrong. Obviously, it's a Colorado team. I want to be wrong. I want Tanner to be wrong. Can we work that out somehow where Tanner's still wrong even if they squeeze into the playoffs?
Yeah, we might have to talk to our connections within the organization.
We'll talk to our connections.
I'll hit up Chris Bryan after the show.
Yeah, hit him up. Hit him up for sure. All right, well, there you go. We'll see what happens there. Rocky's still making some splashes as they get set. Well, they're a couple weeks away from that opening day game against the Dodgers. There you go. They won, like I said yesterday, they won that first game last year. So there you go. 39 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just about 10 minutes left in the show. Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Give them a call, 970-330-6824. It's a tough time. It's a terrible time. It's the worst time, right? So, you know, if you're thinking about it, your family, man, whatever, get it taken care of now. Call Mosier Funeral Home and just set it up. Set that pre-planning stuff up. Get it out of your hair. And then go back and enjoy life. And it's done. And then you'll live a long, wonderful life, hopefully. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Second grand jury mulls another charge against Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. Uh-oh. According to ESPN's Sarah Barshaw, a second grand jury in Texas is considering evidence related to another accusation of sexual misconduct against Browns now the Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson. ESPN confirmed with Tony Busby, the lawyer for the complainant. The grand jury is in Brazoria County, south of Houston. The Browns declined comment right now, but a team spokesperson told ESPN that the team was aware of the potential of a second grand jury and was made aware that it was hearing evidence. The Browns just got him last week for three first-round picks, and three other draft picks. They also signed him to a new five-year deal worth $230 million guaranteed, the most guaranteed money on a single contract in NFL history, by $80 million. Would you have acted this fast? I mean, yeah, he got cleared with the last stuff, but, I mean, let it breathe for a little. And I know there were other teams probably wanting to jump at this, but boy, if this is something that's going to keep Deshaun from playing next year, Cleveland, you're going to be back in the doghouse for the next 3 years, four, five, 6 years again. Baker was at least average to maybe above, maybe a higher ceiling. Now, if this happens, I mean, they still have Baker, right? So, but Baker wants out. The damage is done, especially now that you actually put pen to contract. You got Deshaun Watson. Going to be interesting. That story continues to go on and on and on, and we'll follow it here. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. March Madness resumes tonight. I gotta admit, I'll be watching Nuggets Suns. I'm into that one. I'm excited about this one. But it's, you know, last week I was more excited. This time last week, we got the Rams. Well, actually, this time last week, we knew they lost. I'm still pumped about it, but it was just nice having all these Mountain West teams in, and obviously we know how that went. First game of the night, 5:09 on CBS. That's Arkansas and Gonzaga. The Zags are 9.5-point favorites in that game. Michigan and Villanova. Villy is 5-point favorite, or just a 5-point favorite. Many people, like me, had Tennessee pick to win the whole thing, so Michigan beating Villy would help me. Texas Tech and Duke. You want to know what the spread is there, Jade? Got any guesses? Give me a guess. All right, if Gonzaga and Arkansas, the spread's 9.5. If Michigan and Villanova is 5, what do you think the spread is for Texas Tech and Duke? 1. You almost had it. It's 1. That's going to be a game, folks. Let's go Texas Tech. I hate rooting against Coach K like we talked about during the break, but it's for the bracket. It's the most important. It's for the bracket. It's for the roof. Hopefully Tanner's standing on it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. We'll get to the full list of TV. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
More
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk-Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Almost done here for a Thursday edition of the show. A lot of fun. Thanks to Chris Dempsey for joining us, talking all things Nuggets. I like the Michael Malone extension. I really do. Boy, it's not feeling like Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray are going to be playing this year. I mean, you got 9 games left. You're not going to throw them in the first round of the playoffs. You're not. Because if they just can't pan out, you could cost you a quick game or two right off the bat. You're down 0-2. You just can't trust it at this stage. So that's kind of the unfortunate news of the day. Great from Kevin Lytle, the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Really excited to see Clay Millen and Torrey Horton. Horton hears no boos. There you go, Jades. I reached for that one, didn't I? I think Torrey Horton and Clay Millen, they're going to help together bring wide receiver you back to Colorado State. That's the one thing that football here was somewhat famous for, was wide receiver U. And you hire Steve Adazio, who I'm pretty sure doesn't know what a wide receiver is. Now you got Norvell. You got Matt Mummy back in saying it's time to go. It is freaking go time in Fort Collins. Colorado State football might be on the way back. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.